We'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was wondering if when we say Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think of? A couple weeks ago, I had a message on Lord, and I'm going to probably give you a test time here this morning to see if you remember. When you think of Jesus, it says God is our salvation. That's what Jesus is. He's our salvation. When we think of Christ, I think that word means anointed one. It means king. When we say Lord, I think we had a message that said, is he Lord of your life? And we had the acronym L-O-R-D. I'm going to call you. What do you remember of the L? You know that the Lord is your Lord when he is L. What? Anyone? I know we have forgetters. Remember we said, you know a person... Jesus is your is their Lord when he is their leader. When he is their leader. That way you know if they're a Lord or not. The other thing is of O, I think I had written down organizer, and I think someone said orchestrator. They're both pretty much the same. Jesus is Lord of your life when he is your personal redeemer, when he has redeemed you from your sins. And the Lord is your life. He is Lord of your life when he is also your deliverer. And that's a current thing. We're human. We fail. But the Lord will deliver you now. It's a current thing. We know that we can be delivered whenever we fall. Hopefully we don't, but it happens. And I'm just thankful that that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I'm just hoping that Jesus is Lord of your life. Because without that, you have a pretty bleak outlook in life. It's not going to come out right for you. I thought before we go very far, I want to say thank you for those that did pray for me. I do appreciate everyone's prayers. I feel inadequate in a lot of ways. When I stand up here to share the word, it's not me that really matters, but it's the truth. And I want you to realize the most important thing in life is God. And that's why I say God is everything. It's not me. It's not Gerald, it's not Daryl, but it's God. So before we go any further, let's stand for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for this brotherhood. We thank you, Father, for all the prayers of intercession and requests that have gone up this morning. We ask that you might answer them according to your will. We thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have and enjoy and so often take for granted. And we pray that you might help us as we go through this message, that your spirit would have free course in my life and also in the lives of each here. We ask that your spirit would work and move in each one of us so that your name can be honored and glorified and that the world can see you more clearly. We pray, Father, for those that are sick among us. We pray that you might be near and dear to them. We especially think of John and Deb. Continue to bless them with strength and courage and wisdom. We also pray that you might help each one of us to realize that our lives are in your hands. And we just pray that you might help us to reflect your kingdom so that the world can see thee more clearly. Now, we ask you might bless your word as it is read today. And we ask that you might help us to always put you first, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I was asked to preach on politics. And I was like, wow, that's kind of a hot issue right now. And I have to echo a little bit what some other brethren have shared here. I've been trying to, you get so involved in this thing, it can consume a lot of your time, and that's dangerous. And I think the devil knows that. And so he's trying to get us all worked up and riled up and help us to lose our focus, what it's all about. The word politics, it says, a government activities associated with governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or the conflict among individuals or parties having hope to achieve power. We're in politics right now. There's people that really want to achieve power. And someone said, power corrupts. But I kind of beg to differ on that, because power is not bad. Power is good if it's in the hands of the right people. Because right now, I can tell you that God is all powerful, and I am really happy He is. And I can tell you this, that I heard a man give this comment. Now, he's a man that is he recommends voting. He really strongly recommends voting. And he said he'd like to share this, and I was glad he said it. He said, whether you vote or don't vote, either way, remember, God still rules. And I'd like you to understand that. And I think we have to realize the sovereignty of God. I don't think I shared this maybe a long time ago, but the acronym for God, God is good, God is gracious, God is giving. And also, God is, when in the O's, he's omniscient, omnipresent, and he's omnipotent. So he's everything. And then also, God is D, he is a divine God. He's sovereign, he's everything. He also is, God is a divider. He also, when God can, he divides right from wrong, good from evil. And he says, be holy for I am holy. And that's dividing between purity and impurity. So God is a divider. And on top of that, God is divine. We said that. What are the, yes. God delivers. And the interesting thing, if you don't have to go real far, in our political world, they're saying that a lot of people that go through this election thing, they don't deliver after their thing, and they're saying this person is putting a feather in his hat saying he's delivering. Well, I can tell you that God will deliver better than anybody. He will deliver you in your troubles, and he will deliver you. What he says, he will deliver. That's God. And I'm thankful that we serve God. So I would like to look at the Bible. And I have asked a brother to read a chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters. Now, if you can, you can turn to John 17. John 17 is the high priestly prayer. And I have asked Brother Yuri to read that portion of scripture. It's the chapter. And I want you to think about it as he reads what all Jesus is saying. So I think you have a mic. You can go ahead. John 17.
These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be with them, and I in them.
Thank you, Yuri. As we heard those words of Christ sharing his heart, there's a couple things that stand out to me. And one is, well, you might not, there's a lot of things I should say, but the thing that stood out to me is, you know, Jesus had so much glory before he came to this earth. He had to come down here. He had to humble himself to save us. He didn't have to do that, but he did. When he says here, you know, that glory that I had with you, I'm going to come back to you, Father, and I want to be a part of that glory. But he came down here for the purpose that we as mankind can be one with God. I hope you understand that God's kingdom is out there. It's this world is not where we want to finish. It says here, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, it's telling us that we technically don't really belong here, technically, if we have become a part of the kingdom of God. If you would look at the rest. Going to 18 talks about Judas turning in Jesus, talks about Peter's first denial, the trial of Jesus, Peter's second denial. And I'd like to read a couple more verses in chapter 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus to Caiaphas under the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went unto the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover, that they'd not go into the judgment hall because they wanted to be religiously right. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put a man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate, entering into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or didst others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one that at Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, No, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. I'm going to go back to this high priestly prayer a little bit. A couple reasons why this chapter is so special. It's what my wife and I used for our wedding message. And I still remember the bishop, before he went upstairs, he said to me, he says, John, how in the world you pick this? I mean, I never preached a message on a wedding on this. But our wedding text was this, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Our lives are here to reflect the kingdom of God. The title of this message, which I think will be short, Am I a real ambassador for Christ? Am I a real ambassador for Christ? I would like to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:20. And it just reads like this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he that hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God in him. I also like to turn to Ephesians 6. Paul talks of a portion of scripture here. Ephesians 6. It says here, beginning at verse 18, Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therewith I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Basically, I would like to look at the word ambassador. Do we know what an ambassador is? It says, according to the dictionary, it said ambassador is a diplomatic office. A diplomatic official of the highest rank sent by a sovereign state to another as its resident representative. My question to you is, are you a real ambassador? Are you? I have some characteristics that an ambassador is supposed to have, and I would like you to think to yourself if these fit you. In the world of, in our world, a person who is a good ambassador is an ambassador for their country, is one who is who loves and has enthusiasm for their country. That's a real ambassador, one who loves and has an enthusiasm about their country. A person who is an ambassador has a knowledge of their country, understands what the country's all about, where they're from, and what they're promoting. A ambassador is a good communicator. An ambassador is one who is creative, one who can connect to people, you know, bring things in. A person who has conversation skills. A good ambassador is one who can build relationships. A good ambassador conveys confidence or lives in truth. In Matthew, it says in Matthew 5 that ye are the light of the world. And I hope you don't get tired of this, but it's so simple. That's an ambassador living out the light of God's kingdom. It's living out God's holy truth. And the question is, am I doing that? This is not just a Sunday affair. This is a day in and day out. I was blessed to listen to a message that was sent to me by someone, and it was a very good message on character. And the message the bearer gave this thought: a lot of people think they have what they call a private life. We don't have a private life. Our life should be an open book. What you see me doing at midnight should be the same thing I'm doing at noon. We have no private life. A true Christian is an open book. We have nothing to hide. Because when you said, we gave the illustration of God is omniscient, he knows everything. God is omnipresent, he is everywhere. I mean, when I think of that, I always think of the father that was trying to rob a store and had his son stand outside, and he said, is everything clear? And, you know, the father looked this way, and the son said, well, Dad, you didn't look up. And he didn't rob the store. But, you know, it's because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. So do we see God as he really is? Are we truly the ambassador that God wants us to be? Do we have these characteristics? Do we have the enthusiasm of representing this godly kingdom? In 1 Timothy, it says here some of our responsibilities. If I go to the right book, I'll be better off. It says here, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus told us that he is leaving us behind with the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to reflect His kingdom, to reflect Him. This past week, my mind went to why am I where I'm at, okay? And in my youth, and I'm glad you don't know my history, it was not an easy life. And I thought about that this past week. You think about different people in the Bible. Moses, let's go to Moses. Moses had a silver spoon put in his mouth, okay? In other words, he was saved because of Pharaoh's daughter. And he was raised with elegance, class, education. He had everything. But he knew, because of his relationship with his mother, that he was an Israelite. And he ended up murdering a guy. And so he had to flee. He had to run. And he left 40 years into the wilderness and became a shepherd. And, you know, he then had an encounter with God after he was 80. But God had to take him from this, what you call, easy street into a low valley to teach him a lot of lessons. And then God could use him. That's just one case. Think of the second one, Joseph. Joseph was the favorite son. And he was given special privileges. He was another person that had a silver spoon in his mouth. But God knew in his omniscience that he was not fit to rule or reign or help other people out. So he had to, his brothers got envious, jealous, and sold him into Egypt. He went through being accused falsely, and he just kept going down and down and down to the dungeon, to the lowest part you can think of. And I don't have the exact years, but it's quite a few years. Went from the time he was sold into Egypt to the time that the cupbearer remembered him. But God took Joseph through that sequence to make him usable. He had to break him down to those scenarios so that he then could be used of God. God's an awesome God. And I am thankful that God has blessed me above measure. I thought about this past week that I am so happy to be a part of a brotherhood where I can live how I believe. It's awesome. I mean, I don't want to go back to where I was because there was a lot of bondage. There was a lot of oppression. There was a lot of intimidation. There was a lot of control. And that is not of God. God will control your life. Don't misunderstand me. I just told you about Joseph and Moses. He will control your life. But you, your heart, your attitude toward God is a key factor on how you're going to come out. Because if you realize and see that God is everything in your life, it's going to work out. It'll work out. Even though you might be going through a valley. Anyway, got a little sidetracked. I'd like to sing for you to sing a song. There's some songs in my life that have been very influential, and this is one of them, and that is in the Christian hymnal. I would like you to turn to 361. As a teenager, I had temptations, I had what everybody else had. But this song meant a lot to me. It rings in my heart. And I'm hoping that somehow you can get the message of this song as we sing it. James, you can blow the pitch. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Notice the words. Okay, when you meet with great temptation, how many here have been tempted this week? Okay, there's nothing wrong with being tempted. It's the yielding that's wrong. Because tempting actually can make you stronger if you come through right. I'm not a machinist, I'm not a steel person, but I understand that there's different grades of steel, and you can make steel stronger by heating it up to a certain degree. It's temper. It makes it stronger. So temptation is not wrong, but yielding to it is. So you want to make sure that we don't yield to the temptation. Temptation is fine, because that way you know the devil's still working at you. But don't yield to it. Don't go there. And I guess the rest of that verse, by his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit? At the beginning of COVID, I told you one of the things that you need to do every day is ask God to fill you with His Spirit. How many did that? You're going to fall. You're not going to make it. We need the Holy Spirit every day. We need to ask God to help us. You know, we don't believe in a once-done deal. I mean, we have Calvinists out there that think, you know, I'm saved, always saved, doesn't matter what I do. No, I don't. There's some that don't think that, but what I'm driving at is we need a relationship. We need every day. Like, that's why this says, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? I like to pray before I even get out of bed. That might sound a little strange. But I do that. I thank God for a new day. I don't know what it's going to face, but I'm just thankful that I'm still alive. I still have a wonderful wife. I have been blessed with a healthy body. I mean, there's so many things I can thank God for. And you can too. I mean, as you mature, sometimes you get aches and pains and that kind of thing. But God is still good. So thank Him. Thank God for that. The thought in here about, can you forgive another who has crossed your way? When things happen in your family life, business life, church life, whatever, and someone just says a few words that are just like, ouch. You know, someone told me I was fat. I am, you know. But, you know, I don't take offense to it. I love the person. But, you know, we are here in life, in a short time of life, and the question I go back is, we're ambassadors. What are we reflecting? What are we showing? How are we helping people? Prayer will change the night today. I have found that to be so. There's various situations in my life that have come, and I'd like to challenge you, and that is, when you face a crisis, what's your first response? What is your first response? We need to cry out to God. We need to pray. We need to ask God for either help or rejoicing or whatever. Our inmost desire should be this relationship in prayer. That's what it should be. And I'm just hoping that you get the meaning of this song, because it has meant so much to me over my short lifetime. Because prayer is a very critical part of my life. Jonathan's not here right now, but Jonathan's, you know, pray without ceasing. And there's nothing wrong with talking to God while you're driving down the road. Some people might think they look at you and might think you're crazy, but they might think you're on the cell phone. But you know, talking to God is a good thing. Talking out loud is just as good. So prayer is a key factor. With this being said, I'd like to ask those that want to, I was debating whether I should ask a raise of hands, but we're ambassadors of another country, but we live in this country. We live here. Election is on Tuesday, and I know what I would do if I were voting. But God is sovereign, and I'd like to ask you to join me in fasting and praying that day. It's your choice. You can do what you want, I know. But I'm planning on doing that. And because I do love this country. God has blessed this country in a lot of ways because it has applied a lot of scriptural principles and it has made it a great country. But we need to pray that America will repent of sin and return to God. And that goes for all of us. If there's sin in our lives, we need to repent and return to God. Because I have an acronym for repent, but I'm not going to dig it out. But I'd say, if you're a real Christian, if you're a real ambassador, you are repentant of your sin, you have emptied yourself, you have always put God first, and you love everyone. That is real. So I would like if everybody here would become real Christians, real ambassadors, and to do that, you must pray. You must have this relationship with God. It's not a one day a week deal. It's every day. You have no private life. Your life is an open book before God. And the sooner you wake up to that reality, hopefully the sooner the Spirit can work in your life. Let's stand for prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you after the sharing of your word. We pray, Father, that you might help us to be real ambassadors for you. We pray that you might help each one of us to put you first, help us to empty ourselves, and reflect Christ in every way, Father. For the purpose of your glory, we know, Father, that we live in a dark world. But we pray that you might help us to be that light. Help us to live your holy word out in our lives so that the world can see you and realize the most important thing in our lives, our short span of time, would be to honor and glorify you and give you the glory and the praise which thou art worthy of. We pray, Father, especially for this country. We pray that the sins that are there, that they would repent, and that somehow this world would turn to you, Father, and realize that you are a sovereign God, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we ask you might just give us the strength, give us the enthusiasm, Father, to reflect your country so that more souls can be brought into the kingdom before time and eternity meet. We pray that you might bless each one here. Help each one of us to just put you first. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I've asked James to lead another one of my favorite songs, and you will recognize it when we sing it. Thank you.
In the hymnal, number 376.
Domizo, I want.